Tonight, I'm a happy guy because I'm not teaching. But I'm especially blessed because Alan's going to share God's word with you. And he's going to share God's word about a little bit about forgiveness. Now, when you teach the word, that's one thing. But when you teach the word and understand what you're teaching, that gets it to settle in your heart. And Alan understands what forgiveness means. He's had to forgive himself. He's had to forgive others. And he's come and freed himself to be able to be the kind of guy that God wants him to be because of forgiveness. Because there's one thing that will stop you in your tracks. It'll just stop God. You know, if the God can be stopped, it's unforgiveness and bitterness. And it's really important. When he shared with me, was working on that subject, I was very excited about it. And especially so because he's teaching it from not only a biblical point of view, but he's teaching it because he lives what he teaches with regard to this subject. So, Mr. Alan, why don't you come on up here? Please welcome him. And this is the mic, don't hit it, and you'll be okay.
Before we get started, Leslie and I are going to do a proclamation. I don't know if you know what proclamation is, but we're going to do it, and then I'll explain it, and then we'll get into the teaching. So we're going to do, since our subject is forgiveness, we're going to do a proclamation for Ephesians 4:32. Okay, we ready? And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Want to do it again?
Yes.
Okay. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you.
Thank you.
We learned about proclamations. We've been watching on YouTube Derek Prince Ministries, and he and his wife, when they were doing their teachings, would do proclamations. And what you just witnessed was a proclamation. And Derek Prince shares that he begins this way, proclaiming the word in faith at the beginning of the meeting, because it makes a tremendous difference in the atmosphere of the meeting and on the speaker. So, I mean, proclaiming God's word. And in the Bible, the proclamation is the verb to proclaim. It comes from a Latin word. It means to shout forth. It's a strong word, and there are two related words in the New Testament, confession or to confess, and proclamation or to proclaim. Confession in the Bible means to say the same words with our mouth as God says in his word. We agree with the word of God. In that way, we line up ourselves to receive the full backing and authority of Jesus. And if you, we'll just take your Bible real quick. Just go to Hebrews chapter 3. This isn't part of teaching, but this is, there's a scripture here that kind of backs up proclamation. It says in Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Okay, so it says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. It is an important statement because if we have no confession, then we basically make his high priesthood. We have no high priest working for us, but that's his job. That's what he's doing. In other words, he is the high priest in respect of what we confess with our mouths. Whenever we say with our mouths what the Bible says about us as believers in Jesus, then we have Jesus as our high priest in heaven, releasing his authority and his blessings. So, but if we remain silent in a certain sense, we shut off his ministry as high priest, and if we make a wrong confession, we may do even worse in a certain sense. We may invite negative forces to surround us and move upon us. So now a proclamation, as it were, is a confession made aggressive in a sense of word of spiritual warfare. It's releasing the authority of God's word in a situation into our own lives, into the church, into a political situation, or wherever there may be countless different situations that need the power of God released into them. And there is no more effective way than proclamation to release that. So that's a little bit about proclamation. That's something else. Okay. Nick had shared is true. I'm going to share on forgiveness, and that's the title of this teaching. I think after we share this, I think a better title for this teaching is The Power of Forgiveness. Before I get started, I do want to say what Nick said is true. I am actually alive today, and I am here with this beautiful family, and I have a new lease on life in more ways than you could ever know. And it's because of forgiveness. It's because of the forgiveness from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and many people, many, many great people that rendered to me, unworthily, from my perspective, genuine forgiveness. And so if I get a little bit emotional, please bear with me, because I'm very grateful. Okay. Okay. Okay, forgiveness. In the battle of spiritual warfare for God, one of the greatest weapons we have on the offensive is forgiveness. And you're going to see this tonight. There is nothing that the devil and the kingdom and his kingdom can do to a believer after forgiveness is rendered. You see, forgiveness sets a believer free to really move ahead with the power and proclamation of the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The act of forgiveness generally occurs under two scenarios with a believer, and I'm going to explain that briefly. Okay, one instance, a believer will need to go to God and the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of a sinner's sins that were done to hurt others as well as God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this case, the one asking forgiveness is the perpetrator or of the original sins that they're requesting forgiveness of. And then there's forgiveness on another side. On another hand, a believer may go to God and the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness of a sin or sins that one is harboring against others because they were hurt or abused by someone else. In this case, they were the victims of the original sin or sin. But the harboring of that vengeance or that bitterness is still sin, so that needs to get forgiveness. In either case, the sins of the perpetrator or the victim remain as sin to the individual until they are released by going to God and the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. Until the act of forgiveness is done, the believer remains in bondage of the consequences of that sin and the darkness. And the devil and when that happens, the devil and the devil spirit kingdom has an open access to have their way with the believer or the person until they get forgiveness and is released from their sins by God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So once this is done, once forgiveness is rendered, the person has been granted that forgiveness, the devil and the devil spirit kingdom legally can no longer have their way with a forgiven believer. Okay, first we need to see that God with forgiveness, we first need to see that God and the Lord Jesus Christ are always worthy to forgive us our sins. That's important. We have a merciful and forgiving Lord and God. Okay, first we'll go to 1 John chapter 1, first book of John. Because without that, we have nothing. Okay. If we confess, it says in verse 9 in chapter 1 of 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay. And then we go to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Right, next verses. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the full payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What a Lord. I mean, that covers everything. Okay. It says, because of the righteous blood sacrifice that Jesus made of himself on the cross for the whole world, he is faithful to forgive us our not only our sins as the believers, but the sins of the whole world. So he is a complete and victorious Lord and Savior. Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Talks a little bit more about Jesus and and his authority to forgive. Verse 24, Jesus speaks, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Okay, so again, we read that Jesus is faithful and has the authority to forgive our sins when we confess them. It's important to know. And then this is when we go to God for forgiveness of sins, and when we confess them, and it's rendered, this is what happens from God's perspective. This is what's left on our account. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Says in verse 1, we'll just read a couple verses here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We have only a holy God can rightfully forgive sins, so we need to say that. And that's right there in the verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And certainly forgiveness is a great benefit. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth us thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what God does for us. And then we're going to, and then go down to verse 12 of that chapter. Or no, start at verse 11. Again, talking about forgiveness, healing all our forgiveness and all the diseases. Okay. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's the outcome. So far as east, it's not there anymore. It's done. It's not remembered. It's not brought up. The devil can't do anything with that. Okay, as I stated earlier, once we get forgiveness of sins from the Lord, we are no longer in the bondage of those sins, as we are cleansed from all unrighteousness, and we are free from the devil and his kingdom, because there is no more lingering sin and darkness for them to mess with us anymore on those left. Now, it is important to note that once we get forgiveness of sins, it is important for us to repent or change our ways, okay? Otherwise, we are at risk of repeating the same kinds of sins that we got forgiveness out of and returning to the bondage and torment of those sins that we were just released from. So if that's the case, we got to go back to God and get more forgiveness. But by repenting, you go to God for forgiveness and you change your ways and you move ahead with the things of God. Okay, and that's the best way. Okay, now, let's look at what the Apostle Paul writes about the forgiveness of sins, about forgiveness in the book of Corinthians. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to share this with you as you'll see, and I'm going to develop, you'll see in this forgiveness and how powerful it is from the scriptures. And why it's so important, and what true genuine forgiveness can render. That's the point. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I'm in 1 Corinthians, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the person of Christ. That's Paul saying he forgives anything in the person of Christ. Lest, he says, lest, if he doesn't forgive, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We, by rendering forgiveness, Satan cannot get an advantage over us. We have the advantage over him because it's free. We're free. That's a great powerful tool in spiritual warfare. Forgiveness is. Paul writes, we ought to forgive one another, or Satan can get an advantage over us. We definitely don't want that. Remember, we are in a spiritual war with the devil and his kingdom, and we already have the victory in Jesus. And one way we can really make a statement of the victory we have is by getting forgiveness of our sins. As it reads, when we do, Satan no longer has an advantage over us. When forgiveness is rendered, the devil and his kingdom have no leg to stand on anymore when it comes to his attempts to thwart the blessings of God from being manifested. I'll develop that. This is because the sins of God's people are corrected, released, and forgotten by God, and the righteousness of God's people is able to be magnified. Also, any legal rights the devil has to prevent God's people from receiving the blessings from God are made null and void once forgiveness is rendered by God, because they no longer exist. Look at what before we get into the real records of the power of forgiveness, I just want to show you what the devil's trying to do. Go to Revelation chapter 12. We'll read verses 9 and 10. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's what the devil's doing. He's been accusing us before God day and night. If you have forgiveness, there's no accusation that holds any water. You know, he can accuse all he wants. It's a bunch of BS. You know, so that's what the devil's doing. So by rendering forgiveness, we dethrone his authority and power to have any hold on us, and that's very important to know. And that's an incentive. That to me right there is an incentive to want to forgive, because we want to kick his butt, and we want to do God's will. Okay, so again, and then in the scriptures, of course, we read Ephesians 4:32. That's our instruction from God. It says, "And be kind one to another." Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then the question comes up, well, how often should we forgive somebody? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Because, you know, like I said, it's important that we repent and change, but sometimes it takes some time. And sometimes, I know I've done this, some bad things, not necessarily purposely, but I've done things again and again, and I need forgiveness. And I'm thankful that this scripture is really the love of Jesus to share this scripture with Peter, and to share this parables is remarkable. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often, this is verse 21 of chapter 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. I mean, that's a pretty high score.
High score.
All right. And then he goes on to teach this parable here. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for so much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and the payment to be made. Therefore the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. That's what we're supposed to do. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. He would not have patience, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, my heavenly Father, Jesus is saying, do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. That's the importance of the forgiveness. God's forgiven us for everything, for so much. We have no right not to forgive others. That puts it in perspective. okay. All right, so in actuality, when genuine forgiveness is rendered, it opens the door for great deliverance and things to happen from God above. I'm going to show you this. You see, our great God is totally into forgiveness, repentance, and reconciliation from our evil ways. The act of genuine forgiveness truly paves the way for this to happen. That is, for God's righteous kingdom to dominate and be magnified throughout the earth. Let us look at what happened after two great events in the Bible where forgiveness was genuinely rendered. And after reading these records, it is noteworthy to understand that genuine forgiveness is a true act of God's love, mercy, and service to God's kingdom and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us look at Jesus first. He's the greatest example, okay, of love and forgiveness from God in the flesh. Okay, let us take a look at what the forgiveness of Jesus did to begin the magnification and the rise and expansion of the kingdom of God here on earth. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. You want to see the devil's kingdom really get crushed? Watch this. 23, verse 34. This is where Jesus Christ is getting crucified. Okay. And in verse 34, not too long before he actually gave up his life to the Father, these are the words that he said to those that were crucifying him. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ forgave those people that were doing that to him. It's incredible. Okay, now, I want to show you what that act of forgiveness produced for the Lord's kingdom and the kingdom of God. Go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to just jump around a little bit. We're going to read in verse 14. It said, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing as the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay, I just wanted to read those verses right there because, just to set the record, this is on the day of Pentecost, right, where they're receiving the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Go down to verse 22. verse 22. And Peter's still explaining to the people in the temple what had just happened, okay, and why it happened, okay? And this is what he says in verse 22. This is remarkable. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and you yourselves know, him by being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Okay, what I wanted to say here is that the people he's speaking to in the temple were some, there were among this group that was listed, that was hearing this, were some of the people that were out there crucifying Jesus. Okay, now go down to verse 36. Okay, these people were really pricked in their heart. okay, verse 36, it says, therefore, Peter's still speaking, let all the house of Israel assuredly know that God hath made that same Jesus who you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And here's these people that were involved with this. Here's what happened. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We screwed up. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Now, if there was no forgiveness, this could not be possible. And those people that were crucifying Jesus, many of them got born again on this day. And I'm going to show you, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Now, I don't know if every one of the ones that were crucifying Jesus were all the 3,000, but there was many of them in there. And because of that forgiveness of Jesus Christ on the cross on the day, opened the way for 3,000 souls to get born again, receive the Holy Spirit, got forgiveness of sins, and many of those that were there on that day were the ones that crucified Jesus. So that's one record of the power of forgiveness, and that's straight from our Lord. That's so amazing. That's so remarkable. The second one we're going to look at is in Acts chapter 6, and that's Stephen. We're going to start at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain among the synagogue which were called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and Asia, and they were disputing with Stephen. Stephen was testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jews in the synagogue were disputing with him. But it says in verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen was speaking. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council. They brought him before a council and set up false witnesses which said, this man seeth us not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face, it had been an angel. He was walking with so much power and spirit, just testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go down to chapter 7 and verse 51. This is after this whole thing with the council and going back and forth with Stephen. Verse 51, it says, Stephen says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers do so. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before the one coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. So he's telling them, you're the murderers here, Jesus. Who have received the law by disposition or angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed them with his teeth. They were really, he was really stirring their evil up and that was welling inside them. And then what they did was, go down to verse 58, and ultimately they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I couldn't imagine what he went through. But look what Stephen did as he was giving up his life, as his life was ending, you know, and as these people were stoning him to death. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he died. He fell asleep. So, and we see here in this record that Saul, that, and you will see that that's the Apostle Paul, was at this event and was part of this stoning event. Okay. And again, here Stephen forgave them and asked God not to lay this to their account. That's remarkable. What I mean, that's a man of faith and love. He learned that from Jesus. Now here's the question before we get into the rest of this. What kind of an impact do you think Stephen's testimony, an act of genuine love and forgiveness, had on the Apostle Paul? We just read that he was there. Well, we will briefly look at Paul's repentance and turn to the Lord Jesus and the effect that this had on a great movement of God's word here on earth and in the first century after Jesus' crucifixion. So let's go to Acts chapter 9, verse 4. And this is where Paul got afflicted and Ananias met with him and he received the Lord Jesus. Anyways, he fell to the earth in verse 4 and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So here is the man that was at Stephen's stoning, and was making havoc. And I didn't read in chapter 8, but he was making havoc of the church and putting people in prison, and he was involved in a lot of bad stuff on persecuting the Christians before this happened. Here, he's going to meet Ananias, and he's going to turn to the Lord. And you have to look at this. We're going to look at it in a second, but what do you think all the Christians that he was persecuting, you know, Paul's going to change to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think all the Christians that were being persecuted by Paul were thinking when this happened? You know, this guy's a murderer. He murdered half our families. What do we do with this guy? We you know, this is terrible. We can't. He's not part of us. You know, I mean, these would be normal thoughts. You know, but they had to. It's not just the disciples, as we're going to read, that brought him in and protected him, but the whole Christian community, the whole family, had to forgive him and accept him to allow him to be free. And then his ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ just blossomed. So I'm right here. Here it says, if genuine forgiveness was not part of the Christian lifestyle soon after the crucifixion of Jesus, the believers like Ananias, Barnabas, and many other faithful lords may not have heeded to the call. If genuine forgiveness is not part of their lives, they may not have heeded to the call to forgive and minister to the Apostle Paul. We're going to read in chapter 9:31 before we go there. As it turned out, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ went as far as to take him in. They protected him against the Jews and taught him about Jesus Christ. They did all this for Paul, who was a flat-out murderer. You talk about genuine forgiveness and and the power of God that goes with it. Flat out remarkable. What an amazing measure of true love and mercy that goes with it. This can only come from the one true God. You see how important forgiveness really is for God and his kingdom. Now I'm going to read the rest of this part of this chapter so we can see this. Let's start in verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And Ananias, he said, Behold, I am here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for he's praying. He had seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard of many things to this man, how evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias questioned that. But you know what? He heeded the call, and he obeyed the Lord. And the forgiveness was from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, and right through the whole Christian family. And they took him in, and they helped him. And then go down to verse 31. We're not going to read this because we don't have the time, but this is the result of their forgiveness of Paul and for what they did to help him. In verse 31, it says, Then had all the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the Holy Ghost, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. So the word of God just started to blossom. It just started to multiply. And it all started with that. So you see the aftermath of true forgiveness in these two records resulted in great movements of God's word. There was nothing the devil and his kingdom could do to stop the increase of God's word and the birth and the new birth spirit getting out to people, getting born again, and the great increase of God's new family in Jesus Christ. The devil tried as he and his minions persecuted many Christians, but the power of God always prevailed and was so overpowering and was greatly manifested throughout all the regions where it was preached, through Judea, the Middle East, Europe, and Asia Minor. So much that so many Christians got healed of diseases, delivered from demons, and the love and manifestation of the power of God was magnified abroad. Let's read this in Acts chapter 19. This is, you know, many years now, Paul in his ministry and teaching God's word. And let's start in verse 6. It says, And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So they began speaking in tongues, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from there and separated his disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. This could have never happened if forgiveness was not rendered. This could never have happened. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. We adjure you by Jesus, who Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew and a chief priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? So this was something was being done here that was outside of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus and what Paul was preaching. And it didn't work too good, because and the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them overcame them and prevailed against them, and they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This happening got around. It says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear on them fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. That just magnified Jesus' name more. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And then look what they did. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together, burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And ultimately, this was the result of Paul's ministry at the Lord Jesus Christ at its greatest moment. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And that was because, and it all started, the two records, it all started with forgiveness. Forgiveness for those that were crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and forgiveness with Paul and those that were stoning Stephen. And not long after those incidents, because forgiveness was genuinely rendered, the word of God and the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit just blossomed like it never has. So now I'm going to just quickly share a little bit my own testimony. You know, I was in the church for a number of years. I was a pretty proud person, high-minded. I just didn't have a lot of I was doing the right things for the wrong reasons. And there's a lot of people that I hurt, and many of them are in this room. And there's others. And one of the most dearest, of course, is my wife. Every one of you, and I'm here, I'm literally standing here today, excited to move ahead with the things of God and not be in a coffin, and thankful to not be in a coffin, because what I'm teaching every one of you did for me, and I can't say enough. So I can't thank you enough, and mostly I can't thank my Lord and God enough, and my Lord Jesus Christ, because it's because of them that you all are the way you are, and because of your faith in them. So what can we learn from these records? The point is that if you want to see God's blessings magnified in your life, and the word and the power of the Holy Spirit really move abroad with great magnification, healing, and deliverance for people, quite often it begins with the act of rendering genuine forgiveness. That is, forgiveness to God for yourself and toward others. As you can see, forgiveness also wreaks great havoc on the adversary and his kingdom. It destroys the attempted attacks from the devil, because the abundance of love, mercies, and grace from our great and awesome God are so enabled to be magnified abroad. We know from the word of God that love covers a multitude of sins. Forgiveness paves the way for opening the hearts of both those who hurt others and those who have been hurt by others. It gives a person freedom and a new lease on life, and an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an essential part of true Christianity, and it is a very powerful weapon to really move God's word and bring his kingdom of love and light into fruition and domination abroad here on this earth. Amen.